ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, January 24th, 2018 edition of the American Awakening. I am your host, Michael Herzog, and as always, I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, today, we're going to take a little bit of a trip down memory lane, revisit a number of past events with some updates thrown in as well, like on Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Charlottesville, in Las Vegas, and maybe even a little JFK, because it is important to revisit and keep the memory of these events fresh in our minds. Now, with that in mind, there's no one I know with the ability to do that so precisely but my guest today, a professor emeritus from the University of Minnesota, Duluth, likely possessing one of the greatest philosophical minds of the 21st century, the author of or contributing editor to at least 14 books that I know of, one of whom was actually banned by Amazon.com, the one Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, likely by Jeff Bezos himself, being a member of the Bilderberg Group, which, by the way, I consider a badge of honor. A man who, if I read his resume, would likely take up the whole show. So I'll just introduce him as the man that was cordial enough to ride shotgun through my very first inaugural show on KFNX 1100 in Phoenix back in 2006. Professor Emeritus Jim Fetzer. Welcome, Jim. It's always an honor. How you doing?
Hey, Michael. Terrific. Actually, my total number is 36 books, 24.
Oh, my God.
24 in the philosophy of science and another dozen in the area that most would regard as conspiracy theory.
Well, obviously I've fallen behind, Jim, so I apologize for that. your reputation precedes you, my friend.
Well, those are very kind words.
Well, thank you. And you know, I will always remember you, Jim. You know that. You know how nervous I was that first day I did a show, and you were so cordial as to help me with that. I'll never forget it. Thank you.
Wow, you were excellent from the beginning, Michael. I always could tell you were going to be a great success on the air.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm humbled by it, especially with your reputation. And I mean, you've got a reputation worldwide, Jim. You know, I've followed you for years, and I've heard you on many, many numerous radio shows across the country. I can even recall, Jim, and I'll take you down memory lane for just a minute. I remember being in Los Angeles when we were in that symposium with Charlie Sheen. And I spent the weekend actually with my best friend in Los Angeles, and you were on Fox News that night with Sean Hannity, and they were spewing forth all of this gobbledygook regarding 9/11. And I'll never forget what you told Hannity. You said, "I think you've got your facts boxed."
Yeah. Actually, that I was able to use that phrase twice. That particular show, Ollie North was sitting in for Sean Hannity. They'd set me up, Michael, by telling me they wanted to know what scholars for 9/11 truth had discovered about 9/11. But when I was in the waiting room, I asked them to bring in a TV. And I saw when they began promoting it, when Alan Combs said, "You won't believe what your students are being taught by their professors," that they had set me up. I also knew they didn't know enough to get it right, that they seemed to think I had a course on 9/11, which they introduced right in the beginning, and I was able to explain that I didn't have a course, but that I created a research group to study 9/11. But I thought that it was an excellent idea to have a course because there was a lot of material.
And it's still coming out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is. And then it was a couple of months later, they had me back, and it was Sean Hannity, and I was able to use that phrase again. And then subsequently, I was on with O'Reilly, who's a real piece of work. I was sitting in a room in a studio here in Madison for about an hour with bright lights in my face until he came on and just said, "I'm going to tell the country that you're a nut and you hate your... I'm going to tell the nation you're a nut and you hate your country." Boom, I'm on TV. Then he goes to a second assault scene, so you never get a chance to get back to the original. I was very dismayed by that, Michael. I thought that had been, well, quite a unsuccessful event until I was in New York City. My wife actually was with me on the occasion. I spoke at Cooper Union at a 9/11 event. It turned out that afternoon at a nearby theater, Alex Jones was conducting a 9/11 event. So we went over, and they just gave us the red carpet treatment, and they put me right up on a platform with 9/11 first responders. And when I sat down, the fellow next to me leaned over and he said, it was seeing you on O'Reilly that convinced me 9/11 had been an inside job.
You know what, though? I have heard rumor for years, and I actually ran across a piece here not too long ago, Jim, that the mainstream news networks have actually been infiltrated over the years by upwards of better than 300 CIA operatives. Do you think there's any truth to that?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. You got 100 or more right on CNN alone. The fact is that it's Operation Mockingbird, Michael. It began in the 1950s, so that already by 1975, William Colby, then its director, informed Congress that the agency owned everyone of any significance in the media. Now, Carl Bernstein would follow it up in 1977 with an article in Rolling Stone about CIA and the media, in which he reported boasts from high officials that their greatest successes had been with Time Life, the New York Times, and CBS. And in that era, if you controlled Time Life, the New York Times, and CBS, you pretty much had a lock on the news media here in the United States. Now, they then did not have the alternative media, which has proven such a source of inconvenient truths that they're doing their best to suppress it. All these efforts, Google recently hired 10,000 more censors. They're using artificial intelligence to go through videos and so forth and taking down stuff. I've had someone come into my blog and take down photographs where we demonstrate how Noah Posner, the most famous of the Sandy Hook kids, because he not only died on 14 December 2012 in Newtown, but again on 16 December 2014 in Pakistan, where his father, Lenny Posner, said Kelly Watt, who is a very astute student, after having 100 hours of conversation where she told him she didn't believe a word he said, she didn't believe he had a son, didn't believe he died, he inadvisedly sent her a copy of a death certificate that was a fabrication. It was the bottom half of a real death certificate, the top half of a fake, had no file number, had the wrong estimated time of death at 11 a.m. when the shooting purportedly took place between 9:35 and 9:40. So that, you know, I mean, obviously, if he had a real death certificate, he would have been able to produce not a fake one. But we've been discovered that, and Kelly actually noticed a striking resemblance, she thought, between Noah Posner and his fellow, supposed to be his older stepbrother by the name of Michael Vabner. So she'd show friends these two photos and say, what do you think? And they said, yeah, that's the same person. So I did a collaborative blog, got six people together working on this. They had the same ears, the same eyes, the same eyebrow, the same shape of the skull. I had Larry Rivera do a GIF, and you can actually see Noah Posner turn into Michael Vabner in the GIF.
Go ahead.
Well, this guy, and I think it's Lenny Posner, that he's got some definite, you know, I think he's working with a deep state. I think he's got permission to come into blogs, and he's been taking down the GIF repeatedly. So that I have, had to find ways to work around it. Just today, I was notified by a friend that the images that I'm talking about were missing from two of my blogs. I went into them and repositioned them. But I have a video, a long review about Sandy Hook that's up. And because YouTube takes down so many of them, I had this put up on BitChute so that YouTube cannot take it down. It's entitled Sandy Hook Update. Tracy loses, Wolfgang wins, the deep state strikes back. And, you know, I encourage anyone, I mean, this is like a two-hour review about Sandy Hook. You're going to know A to Z, with the exception of maybe whatever's going on today, what happened with Sandy Hook and how elaborate this was as a hoax, where, as you know, of course, I had a book published in 2015, October 22nd, with 13 contributors, including six current or retired PhD college professors, entitled Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill to promote gun control, which Amazon banned less than a month later, even though it had sold nearly 500 copies in a month. I mean, listen, the average academic book, you know, I have two dozen in its lifetime, might sell 750 copies in its whole lifetime. So here I had this book on Sandy Hook that sold nearly 500 in a month. So it was just too hot. They actually, and I don't know if I ever told you this story, but I was contacted by someone who represented themselves as from First Edition. claiming they wanted to cover what we found out about Sandy Hook, but they had to do a pre-interview interview, and they switched me to this guy. And Michael, it was in a basement operation in Langley. I have no doubt he was a professional interrogator. He said, "What do you got? What do you got? What do you got?" And I start laying out the evidence. He got anything else? Laying out the evidence. He got anything else? I explained we had the FEMA manual for the event. It was a 2-day event rehearsal on the 13th, going live on the 14th. That explains why there were porta potties already in place, why there was pizza and bottled water at the firehouse, why there were so many with name tags on lanyards, where there was a sign saying everyone must check in, why parents were bringing children to the scene. No parent would bring a child to the scene of a child shooting massacre. But this was the day before. It was a rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And they were treating it as a festive occasion. I explained we had 50 photographs of the house where they were furnishing an empty home to be the Adam Lanza residence. And you can tell they have his bedroom made up neat and made up messy, but that's ridiculous. That just meant they hadn't decided which way to present it. Because for a forensic study, it's obviously going to be the way it was when you got there, which was either neat or messy, not one or the other, not both. The Nancy Lanza bedroom, where he's supposed to have shot his mother, there's some red stuff on the bed, but it's not blood. I think it might be raspberry jam. There's a cedar chest with forms on it you find in many of the other photos, because they were keeping records of how they were arranging the room. Kelly Watt, who has her own commercial and home cleaning company, noticed beneath the leg of the bed a blue moving pad that in their haste they'd forgotten to remove. But in Chapter 8, we have 50 more photos of them refurbishing the school to serve as a prop. We got the moving vans there. We got a nameplate on the classroom, still has a moving van sticker. We got a photograph of the SWAT team, though I've been told it's actually the crime investigating team van there. And just above the roof of the vehicle, you can see these four windows in Classroom 10 that are undamaged. That's important because after the event, the second of the fourth in particular would be shot out, and it's very noticeable, but it's not here. So this is clearly taken before the event. The flag is at full mast. You come down, and just to the right of the leaning against the wall with his arms folded is none other than Wayne Carver, the medical examiner. There's crime scene tape up for a crime that is yet to be committed. We've got four other photographs. We've got photographs showing before and after for the Classroom 10. We got a group of perps that are drilling holes in the aluminum window frame to simulate bullet holes. Another photograph showing pink rods sticking out, and they're all exactly 90 degrees to the window pane and exactly parallel to one another. Total fantasy. I mean, I went through a whole lot of this with him, and finally he'd had enough and just cut me off. But there was nothing cordial or polite about it. This was obviously a set-up deal. And 2 days later, they banned the board.
Well, you're already on a roll, and we're not even 15 minutes in yet. But I want to take
Michael, of course, I knew it was political. I knew it was political. So that night, I was actually going on. I was then with Jeff Rentz, and there's an interesting story there related to Las Vegas. But
but let me stop you just for a minute, Jim, because I don't want to get off topic. I wanted to ask you, when you mentioned William Colby, wasn't that the guy that said that the CIA will not be happy until everything that is put out on mainstream media is a lie? Was it him? I think it was him.
No, it was William Casey, who was Ronald Reagan's campaign manager. He's the guy who negotiated with the Iranians to not release the hostages from the embassy until after the inauguration, because he knew if they'd been released before, Jimmy Carter would have been reelected in a landslide. Mm-hmm. So he entered into the secret negotiations. Reagan rewarded him by making him director of the CIA. In his first staff meeting at the agency, he told just what you said, namely, our disinformation campaign will be a success when everything the American people believe is false.
Mm-hmm. And then they've had to come out, here just in the last year with the campaign with the fake news, trying to put forth that they're the real news and alternative is the fake news. And it's blown up in their face because it's the exact opposite. And Trump actually gave out the awards, you know, first, second, and third place for the best fake news story, you know, of the year. And they're all mainstream, Jim.
No, I know. Oh, I know. Yeah, no, it's 100% fake news. I mean, almost everything you hear on the mainstream is fake news, and there's some stories that you can use to measure the difference. For example, the fact is this FISA thing has blown up completely. It turned out that when they initially went to get a FISA warrant to spy on Trump and his campaign, this is in early 2016, FISA turned them down. They had to come back with some proof. So what they did was to manufacture the so-called Russian dossier using this guy, Christopher Steele, who's a UK intel op of some kind. It was all manufactured. It was paid for by, it appears, even the FBI. James Comey was involved. This guy, Andrew McCabe, was involved. Rod Rosenstein made the appointment of Mueller under completely improper circumstance, because you have to have a well-defined crime actually committed. There's never been any Russian hacking. It turns out that the whole meme was made up by Robbie Milk and John Podesta within 24 hours of Hillary's concession speech, as was reported in a book entitled Shattered by two investigative journalists who followed the campaign to obfuscate their incompetent campaign to draw attention away from the contents of the WikiLeaks revelations that led to Pizzagate, where John Podesta himself is the pedophile in chief, and to obfuscate that it was Hillary who'd been in collusion with the Russians, with the approval of Barack Obama selling 20% of American uranium for $145 million deposit to the Clinton Foundation through a Canadian company called Uranium One. And guess what? I mean, look, when Ethel and Julius Rosenberg were given the needle for having, shared atomic secrets with the Soviet Union, it may have been the electric chair. What did Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama deserve for selling off 20% of U.S. uranium reserves to Russia?
Do you think we're actually going to see the dominoes fall with this investigation by Nunes? Because he has actually demanded the documents, and the FBI is burying them. And we can go back in a number of cases when Comey was in office that he's buried several things. But my point is that, you know, Nunes is pushing for this evidence to be released to Congress, and the FBI is sitting on it. Do you think that ultimately we have any hope of Hillary Clinton or any of these conspirators going down? Hold that thought, Jim. We got to take a break. Okay, we'll be back in three. Answer my question when we get back. Michael Herzog with the American Awakening with the famous James Fetzer. We'll be right back.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know some companies take shortcuts? At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Professor Emeritus James Fetzer, before we circumvent back to the Sandy Hook thing, though, the question I pose, do you honestly think, Jim, that as this thing plays out, that any of the main players, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Rosenstein, Mueller, any of these people are going to go down for their cover-up, Comey?
I actually think it's going to happen. We got the House Intel Committee officially starting the process to release the memo on Saturday. That's just this last Saturday, Representative Dave Joyce, Republican of Ohio, announced the House Intel Committee has begun the official process to release the classified FISA memo that allegedly is so incriminating against the Obama administration. We have Greg Jarrett, who's himself an attorney, commented about it, that it's going to show numerous felonies by top Department of Justice and FBI officials. Here's Jarrett. Top officials should be impeached, which means they can't hold another government position. But I suspect this intel document is going to reveal multiple felonies by high-ranking officials at the FBI and Department of Justice. There's a federal felony statute. It's called deprivation of rights under color of law. And it says that a government official cannot use their government position to deprive someone of their constitutional rights. Here it's the constitutional right to privacy. If the DOJ goes into a federal judge using a fake false document to obtain a warrant to spy, that's a violation. It's a felony, 10 years behind jail. And we have a wonderful cartoon by this guy, Ben Garrison, that the shift, S-C-H-I-F-F, the shift is about to hit the fan. And you see, shift is this
California Democrat, Adam Schiff. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have lots of reason to believe he's, in fact, CIA. That he has been the foremost defender of Hillary, attacking Trump and all this stuff. There's a fan showing Schiff about to, run into the fan. Hillary, Comey, the colluder. Brock, I am not, I am a crip, Obama, I mean, Hillary, rotten Clinton. I mean, it's a very clever cartoon, and I think it reflects what's in fact going to happen. But here's a fascinating measure of the degree to which the mainstream media is under the control of the deep state. You're not hearing a word about it from the mainstream. You're not getting it on CNN or MSNBC. You're getting it from a couple of Fox outlets. You get it from Hannity. You're getting it from Tucker Carlson. But you're not even getting it from the New York Times. I have a friend here who's very big on Trump, and he's a very smart guy. He graduated with a degree in mathematics from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And he's been, poring over the New York Times, and he can't find anything about it at all when it's a huge story. We got Joe DiGenova, by the way, who's a former federal prosecutor, making observations like this. The FBI used to spy on Russians. This time they spied on us. What this story is about, a brazen plot to exonerate Hillary Clinton from a clear violation of the law with regard to the way she handled classified information with her classified server. Absolutely a crime, absolutely a felony. It's about finding out why, as the Inspector General is doing at the Department of Justice, Comey and the senior DOJ officials conducted a fake criminal investigation of Hillary Clinton, followed none of the regular rules, gave her every break in the book, immunized all kinds of people, allowed the destruction of evidence, no grand jury, no subpoenas, no search warrant. It's not an investigation. That's a Potemkin village. It's a farce.
Jim, according to Loretta Lynch, it was a matter. Now let's remember that. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
Right. Well, this is Joe DeGenova continuing. We're going to discover that the Attorney General Loretta Lynch, her deputy Sally Yates, the head of the National Security Division, John Carlin, Bruce Orr, and other senior DOJ officials, and regrettably lying attorneys were involved. People who are senior career civil servants violated the law, perhaps committed crimes and covered up crimes by a presidential candidate, but more than that, they tried to frame an incoming president with a false Russian conspiracy that never existed, and they knew it. And they plotted to ruin him as a candidate and then destroy him as a president. That's why this is important. That's why connecting the dots matters.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, what you've just said about violating an American's constitutional rights with this illegal FISA warrant, I mean, that's placing the target on a whole number of these people's back, Jim. Now, we're going to have to take a break here shortly. I want to remind you we've got probably about a 4 or 5 minute break coming up, and then we're going to have a long segment coming up next. We can continue with this, or we can shift back over, because I know that you've got a lot of topics that you want to update us on and keep fresh in our memory. So, I'll leave that up to you, but we're going to take a break here shortly. I hear the music coming up. We'll be back in 4 or 5 minutes, folks. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, honored guest, James Fetzer. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest, Professor Emeritus James Fetzer. And we can all tell he's not backing down. And I am talking about on many topics. But before we shift gears and go back, is there anything else you want to add about this joke called an investigation with Mueller or what's happening behind the scenes with the real culprits, Jim?
Well, I think it is pretty fascinating. And as I say, you can use this as a yardstick to measure the extent to which the mainstream media is completely reined in and controlled and dominated. We have, as I mentioned before, all 100 members of CNN who I identified as dual citizens of Israel. The Zionist influence is simply overwhelming. And it's a cancer on the body politic. If we can't excise ourselves from the control of the Zionists, we might as well redeclare ourselves to be the United States of Israel. It's that bad. They were behind the events of 9/11. I published on it. It may come as a surprise. I brought together 15 contributors. We've been able to establish that, in fact, all four of the aircraft crash sites were fabricated or faked, that none of the official airplanes actually crashed as advertised. That means Flight 11 didn't hit the North Tower. Flight 93 didn't crash in Shanksville. Flight 77 didn't crash into the Pentagon. Flight 175 didn't hit the South Tower, which is by far the most difficult for most to believe because they saw the videos. But while they saw real videos, it wasn't a real plane. It was a fake plane, the image of a plane. There's all kinds of evidence about it. For example, Pilots for 9/11 Truth has put out, and you can obtain this online, 9/11 Intercepted, where they explain that given the physical characteristics of a 767 at that altitude, flying at the speed, they were showing it as flying in the some 52 videos we have, which represented a cruising speed at 35,000 feet, where the air is only one-third as dense as it is in 700 to 1,000, the plane would have physically come apart.
Exactly.
Now, even without looking at the fact that it passed effortlessly into this structure, which has an exterior made of steel, where it's a basic law of material science that in collisions between materials, the more dense prevails over the less, and where the speed of the plane doesn't make a difference, it's a matter of the relativity of motion. The plane might as well have been stationary, and the building crashing into it at over 500 miles an hour, then the building be stationary and crashed into by the plane going over 500 miles an hour. The causal effects are exactly the same either way. It should have crumpled external to the building. It should have exploded. They needed to get it all the way inside the building in order to create the pseudo explanation for the building's collapsing. They actually didn't collapse. They're blowing apart in every direction from the top down, being converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust. It's fairly astonishing. I even had Father Frank Morales on two of my radio shows myself, where he was a first responder from St. Mark's Episcopal Church in the area. And he explained both times that the buildings were destroyed to or even below ground level, which, of course, is preposterous if it had been any kind of collapse. We've now discovered that it was done using a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, so that the book I have with 15 contributors is entitled America Nuked on 9/11, Compliments of the CIA, the Neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad, where the whole idea was to set up a pretext for drawing the United States into wars in the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region. And that's what we've been doing. Trump actually was very good on the day of 9/11. He explained how he had the same builders working for him who had put up the Twin Towers, that because they had external framework that was steel, whereas normally the steel is inside the building. It created a mighty edifice. He felt planes couldn't penetrate. He was right then. It remains the truth today. He felt other factors had to be involved, such as bombs. We found from the U.S. Geological Survey study of dust samples in Manhattan from 35 different locations that they discovered elements that in their quantity and correlations are indicative of a nuclear event: barium, strontium, lithium, lanthanum, tritium. Some of the elements they found only exist in radioactive form. We also know that the conversion of materials into very fine dust is another signature of the use of nuclear weapons. And in fact, these particles were so tiny, they were distributed over five states. I mean, it really was a nuclear event, which is a big secret they want to keep, not to mention that Israel was behind it. I mentioned Brian Rue for that update on Sandy Hook. I have another update on 9/11 I did with Brian Rue. You can just enter Brian Rue, R-U-H-E, 9/11, and it'll pop up. It's a two-hour review of the 9/11. And I have, I might as well mention, too, I also have a two-hour review of JFK. So you can find all three of those on the Brian Rue show by simply entering into your browser Brian Rue, R-U-H-E, 9/11, or Brian Rue, R-U-H-E, JFK, or Brian Rue, a Las Vegas massacre. In that case, I think you need to add my name, Jim Fetzer, but it'll pop up.
Okay. You know, and there have been a number of other reports, clips, documentaries that have come out over the years. I watched a very excellent one from Christopher Bolin and also from Ken O'Keefe that pretty much chronologically put together the conspirators here, and it's a combination of the Saudis supplied the patsies, the Israelis had all of the security for all of the airports involved, plus the World Trade Centers, so that's really a no-brainer. And of course, we have the inner workings of the neocons that were collaborating in this: George Bush, Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, all the players, Larry Silverstein, Frank Loy, all of these dual citizens, including Dove Zakheim, Richard Pearl, Fife, and the PNAC documents, yeah, and so forth. So yes, the evidence, the overwhelming evidence, Jim, is put right square at the doorstep of Israel.
But Christopher Bolin has been giving quite a few presentations that are very, very good on the politics of 9/11. Now, frankly, he's weak on the science. I mean, you know, none of us knows everything about everything, but he's still hanging out with a nanothermite, which is a cover story that was advanced by Stephen Jones after I made him the co-chair of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which I founded in December of 2005. By right. June of 2006, when we were in Los Angeles together, where I was given this keynote speech at the invitation of Alex Jones for his American Scholars Conference, I had a conversation with Steve in the lobby Saturday, where I asked him, did he still believe nanothermite had been able to blow apart the building and, you know, convert them into dust and all that? He assured me, oh, yes, absolutely. But it's poppycock. I did three studies with T. Mark Hightower, who happens to be a chemical engineer, poured through the literature. We found that nanothermite can't possibly have done it. Here's one of the arguments that's rather crucial here. It turns out to be a law of material science, once again, that in order for an explosive to destroy a material, it must have a speed, it must exceed, equal or exceed the speed of sound in that material. Well, the speed of sound in concrete is 3,200 meters per second. In steel, it's 6,100 meters per second. But the highest attributed detonation velocity for nanothermite is only 895 meters per second. That means you can't get there from there. I think the nanothermite business was from the cleanup that they were using thermite to cut the beams and so forth. So that you see some photographs from the scene of devastation in New York where they have cut beams, but that doesn't mean they were cut in the process. And besides, if they'd been cut that way to bring the building down, you would have had a massive pile of debris in the footprint, and it isn't there.
Well, that being said, I think we pretty much surmised the whole thing in 3 minutes. But let's shift gears here. Did you want to add anything? Because I know there's a number of topics that we wanted to discuss. Did you want to add anything relative to Sandy Hook before we move on? And I want to tell you a quick story. I have a little girlfriend who lives back in Auburn, Indiana, and she watches movies every night when she gets home from work. And I asked her what movie she was going to watch last week, and she said she was going to watch a movie on the Boston bombing. And I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Is it, is it a, you know, a novel, or is it the real story?" And she said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, you know, the Boston bombing was a false flag." And she about came out of her shoes. So I told her I was having you come up today. She's likely listening. And I'd like to have you give her a little bit of an overview as to what really happened there, if you would.
Sure. And we have a new development there, too, so I'm very glad you bring it up. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
We have the police on bullhorns calling out, "This is a drill! This is a drill!" during the marathon. We have it on tape. It's unmistakable. We have the Boston Globe tweeting that a demonstration bomb is going to be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities. We have a second tweet that one will be set off in 1 minute in front of the library. 1 minute later in front of the Boston Public Library, we have one of these explosions. Now, I'm a former artillery officer in the U.S. Marine Corps, and I can assure you it was a puff piece. In other words, it made a certain amount of smoke and noise, but I don't think it was powerful enough to kill anyone unless you were actually, say, maybe sitting on it. Meanwhile, when you go through the smoke and look at the bodies lying there, they're missing arms and legs, but there is no blood. Now, as Lorraine Day, who was in charge of trauma surgery for San Francisco General Hospital, has observed, it's a physiological impossibility to have arms and legs blown off by explosives and for there to be no blood. The blood only shows up later, and it came out of tubes, or actually we've discovered in some blood kits that were left at the scene, four or five of them. It was artificial blood, Hollywood blood, never changes color. Ordinary blood deoxygenates and turns dark red. It comes out bright red, but it turns dark red. They used amputee actors. I mean, it's unbelievable, but that's what they did. I was astonished when Nathan Foulkes, who's a Hollywood producer-director, who not only identified one of the key players as an actor, Carlos Arredondo, he'd cast in one of his own films. This is a tall guy with a cowboy hat, but told me that they'd use a smoke machine. So we poured through the photos and videos, and we found it, a studio-quality smoke machine. In fact, I was so astonished, I put a photograph of it on the back cover of the book, and nobody died in Boston either. But let me tell you a bit more. They have this one victim there in the crowd who is having a false bone prosthesis attached to his leg by a guy in a hoodie. You can see it in a sequence. This is a fellow whose name is supposed to be Jeff Bauman. More about that more momentarily. With your legs blown off, as would be the case with Jeff Bauman, you'd be unconscious from the bleed out in 1 minute, dead in two, okay? But he's there for several minutes longer. He keeps his head up off of the sidewalk, a delicacy you don't normally observe in victims who just have their legs blown off, till the right time comes in the script when Carlos Arredondo and a couple others lift him into a wheelchair. Now, let me observe, you don't put a patient who's had their legs blown off into a wheelchair because then gravity helps to draw the blood out of their body. Instead, you keep them on the horizontal, you apply tourniquets. In this case, you've got Carlos running along beside with a very loose rag that couldn't possibly serve as a tourniquet. The vibrations, ironically, called the false prosthesis to come loose, and they have to stop and reattach it. It's that bad. Now, we know the identity of Jeff Bauman. He turns out to be Lieutenant Nick Voigt, V-O-G-T, who lost his legs in Afghanistan, and also the little finger on his left hand. So we've been able to identify him. Now, 19 days later, this is supposed to be the same guy, appears at a Boston Bruins hockey game, okay? And he's waving a flag, real cheerful. Now he's got all 10 digits. And whereas Nick Voigt, Jeff Bauman, number one, had his legs apparently blown off below the knee, now Nick Voigt, Jeff Bauman, number two, at the hockey game, has his legs blown off above the knee. Now, I did an interview with Stan Monteith, Dr. Stan, who now deceased, who used to was an orthopedic surgeon and performed amputations of this kind. He told me it takes 3 months just to recover from the amputation, another 3 months just to figure out how to get along without your legs. Here's this guy, cheerful as can be, waving the flag. Now he's got all 10 digits, no longer missing the little finger. And get this, a third Jeff Bowman shows up at a baseball game, and he's being escorted out in a wheelchair by none other than Carlos Arredondo, and he has no legs at all. So Gary King, with whom I work on JFK research and who posts many of my videos at Gary King YouTube channel, discovered the third, so we made a video called Boston Strong, the three Jeff Bowmans, and you can find it online where you see all three. I mean, this is so shady, so fraudulent, so totally fake. Here's something else, and this is the major new development. I was in contact with the aunt of the two brothers who were accused of the crime. She, who has a law degree from Moscow University, she's a formidable woman. She explained to me how they photoshopped the images of the boys into the scene at the Boston Marathon. And I asked how she knew. And she said because Tamerlan, the older boy, is shown clean shaven, but he had a beard. And he asked if she'd prove it. She started sending me all these proofs, photograph him lying in bed with a cat. He's got a beard. Him and Zoker working out at a gym shortly before the marathon. He's got a beard. He was contacted by a friend by phone, relieved to find they'd been nowhere near the marathon. They had dinner together that night. He had a beard. There's photographic evidence from a convenience store of him outside and Zoker inside. He's got a beard. When he's arrested in Watertown, he's stripped naked and put into a police car. He's got a beard. When his body shows up later with a huge gash in the side, he's got a beard. Now, they did Photoshop the images in, and they not only made that mistake, but a much more significant blunder. Namely, the FBI investigated and reported that the backpacks that exploded that had the bombs contained in them, which were supposed to be homemade in pressure cookers, were black nylon. They were made of black nylon. The crime had actually been cracked the night of the marathon bombing by the alternative, people looking at the images, because there were these Kraft International personnel there in khaki trousers, black jackets, black baseball bats. And we have images of two of them heading toward the scene where one of them bombs explodes. He's wearing a black backpack with a white square on it. The bomb that explodes was in a black backpack with a white square on it. He's rushing away, no longer wearing the black backpack with a white square on it. When they photoshopped the lads in, they gave them the wrong color backpack. Zoker has a silver. Yeah. Michael, it's embarrassing. Michael, he's got a silver backpack. And Tamerlan has a dark colored backpack, but it's not a nylon backpack like the ones that exploded. So
all right.
this retired professor of law by the name of John Remington Graham, it was he who put me in touch with Morette, who's the aunt of the boys. I had asked him long since what evidence he thought was most important here in this case, and he said it was that the backpacks don't match. That because the backpacks don't match, there wasn't even probable cause for an arrest, much less an indictment or a conviction in trial, and that the indictment for the jury trial for Zoker, it stated the backpacks that exploded were black nylon. Well, we tried like mad to make a difference, but the whole trial proceeded. You got a woman who was apparently used to cover these things up. She pled him not guilty. Here's
okay,
the deal.
Jim, let me stop you. We got to take a break. Hold that thought. When we get back, I've got a caller on the line. Didn't open up the line. I think I know who this gentleman is. He's a host on the net. Back in three, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, talking about the Boston bombing with James Fetzer. Be right back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, leaders have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Well, it's all right riding around in the breeze.
Yes, folks, it's all right riding around in the breeze with James Fetzer. We're back. It's a short segment coming up here. We've got Steve in Florida on the line. Steve, what you got on your mind, buddy?
Just to tell you that Dr. Fetzer is talking about there, the femur artery, those amputees, those injuries from the bomb going off, he's correct. The femoral artery would have been ruptured, and that thing, when they rupture, they bleed out. I have never seen one yet actually survived, and he's correct about putting people with amputations in wheelchairs. The downforce of gravity would increase the bleed or start to bleed back up again, even if it did clamp down a little bit. So he's correct there. One thing I want to mention is about the Hillary Rodham Clinton and the investigation when she was questioned. She was never placed under oath, and that was for a reason. She was never placed under oath. That's for a reason, because she could lie her ass off, and that's exactly what she did. Now, the other part of this whole 9/11 thing is you have to look at motive, and there's no better document out there to point the finger of the motive why 9/11 was allowed to happen and why it was an inside job, and that would be the Project for a New American Century. It's spelled out right there of what they intended to do, and then it had to happen, a new Pearl Harbor. David Griffin said that, and it happened. So, I mean, those are important documents that we need to throw out there and show people these actual documents and say, look, now this is the pieces of the puzzle. It just doesn't happen the way they say it happens. It happens in steps, and they theorized what they were going to do, and the plan was initiated and taken out. So there you go.
James Fetzer, let me introduce you to Steve Elkins, a weekend host on RBN. You want to throw your thoughts in there on that?
Oh, yeah, Steve's right on all counts. In fact, in my, you know, overview about 9/11, you can find on the Brian Rue RUAG show, I give a segment from Rebuilding America's Defenses from the Project for a New American Century. These were dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, for the most part, who were trying to set up the pretext that The United States could create a new empire that would endure for the next 100 years if only it would move aggressively into the Middle East and exert diplomatic and military pressure outward from that geopolitically sensitive region, as though this were in the interest of the United States, when the whole thrust was to benefit Israel by taking out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance. In fact, Wesley Clark would confirm the whole story at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco in 2007 when he explained that he'd learned after he returned from serving as Supreme Commander Allied Forces Europe, which means he was a commanding general of NATO, to the Pentagon, and a colleague, a fellow general, told him how they just got a memorandum that we were going to attack Iraq, and they were both bewildered. They said, what in the world? Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. They didn't understand it. So when he returned to the Pentagon a couple months later, he ran into the same general and said, are we still planning to attack Iraq? And he said, oh, sir, it's much worse. Step into my office, he said, I just got a memorandum from Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld that we're planning to take out the governments of seven countries in the next 5 years. And Wesley Clark was dumbfounded. He said, what in the world are we doing that? And the general said, I don't know. I guess we're just good at it. And Wesley said, is a memorandum classified? He said, oh, yes, sir. And then and Clark said, well, then don't show it to me because I may want to talk about it later. And eventually he did. This was a plan to take out, you know, seven countries in the next 5 years, beginning with Iraq and Libya, ending with Syria and Iran. It hasn't played out that way, not for lack of trying, but because the intervention of Russia and Iran on behalf of Syria. And just to underline the absurdity that we're doing this to promote freedom and democracy, Assad is the democratically elected president of Syria.
Okay, we're going to take a top of the hour break. Steve, you can hang on if you've got something else you want to input. We'll be back Okay, we'll be back in two. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, James H. Fetzer, Professor Emeritus. Steve Elkins is in the wings, too. Right back.
Cause I'm mad as hell, can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.